We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Do you remember the saying, when the going gets tough, the hurt run away? Is that how it goes? No. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And what does that mean? They get to work. You know, Americans have always prided themselves on being tough, being a country that doesn't run. You see, as the summer months come out, all of a sudden sleeves go away and you get all the tank tops. And the tank tops, they say, these colors don't run. And it's got a good old red, white, and blue flag, right? Hello? Anybody? 4th of July comes around and all of a sudden it's who can have the most patriotic thing. And it's always about how we won't run. And this is interesting because there's a toughness that I admire in the patriotism of our country, okay? But there's a toughness that goes beyond words that we are supposed to hold individually, not just as a collective. Do you understand that? Now, let me not get too sidetracked, but this year's Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, they coined a phrase that struck a chord with its fan base, and it simply said, "We're still here." It was a phrase that stood against all the media hype and confronted all the failed projections of a team that wasn't going to make it. They were too old. They were too slow. They were not strong enough and didn't have the same drive to win they once had. Anybody remember all this? In the face of controversy, struggle, and uncharacteristic loss after loss, they chose not to pack up and go their separate ways, but to instead dig in and show true staying power. And you know what? I'm not here to preach a message on the Patriot way, although I believe many would be moved. I want to speak with you about having staying power, a power that allows you to stand against all odds and at the end of the day not being moved so you can let the devil know you're still here. I want to talk about still here. That sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds like the life I want, like the world I want to live in, but we see a very different world when we look around, don't we? We see many tout, "I will not run," but that is exactly what they end up doing. In an ever-increasing climate where feelings are considered truth, where emotions are obeyed instead of controlled, and where any felt resistance creates an exodus rather than perseverance, how do we create real staying power? Because if we're told how often we become products of our environment, the environment we live in doesn't show a lot of staying power. So what environment are you going to choose to live in? Because the Bible makes it clear that although we're in this world, we're not of this world. But we get to choose which environment is going to shape us. The one of this world or the one that is very present around us, but that we are truly of. We get to decide because we will become products in the environment. It just depends on which environment we choose to focus on. And so as I begin to think, what does it take to create real staying power? I want to dig into the word and I want to take some of these little isms, some of these little quotes we may have heard before, and I want to look at them from a few different sides and I want to look at what the Bible says about it. Is that okay? And so today, number one, we need to know the tougher it gets, the more staying power I need. James encouraged us to have staying power. He encouraged us to have staying power. If we look right in James 5, 10 and 11, I love the way the message says it. It says, "Take the old prophets as your mentors. They put up with anything, went through everything, and never once quit, all the time honoring God." Hello? What a gift life is to those who stay the course. You've heard, of course, of Job's staying power. And you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. That's because God cares right down to the last detail. How many are thankful we have a God that cares about our details? I love that he brings up the example of Job, and I don't want to dig too far into it because I'm actually going to be bringing a message in the next month or so on Job. And so I'm just going to give a brief overview because when he says, "Hey, you've heard the staying power of Job," for people that have read the book of Job, we go, "Oh yeah, I mean, there's no comparison on other staying power." You know, I thought of well, maybe the staying power of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the fire. But at that point, they were thrown in and there was nothing they could do, right? So thank God he showed up. But that was a momentary staying power thing. They had the staying power to stand on their feet. That was some staying power. But with Job's life and all the things that happened to Job, it is still unreal to the common mind without understanding God's staying power dwelling in him to understand how he even did it. We see God turn around and bless Job. But at first, we see a man who did nothing wrong. Yet God allowed him to go through intense struggle and hardship. Allowed. Didn't bring it on him, but allowed it. Right? We say, oh, God, why would you let this happen to me? Well, there's a potential for what's happening to make you better. Right? And Pastor Marco did a tremendous job last week bringing a message about the dry bones and what we still see in him, because God still sees something in our mess. And there's something in our mess that can still be a message. Right? But so this man, Job, didn't do anything wrong. Yet God allowed him to go through intense struggle and hardship. He allowed the devil to bring hardship on Job's life, proving to the devil that once and for all that Job didn't just love him because of the blessings Job had in his life. Job loved him because of who God is to him. And my question to you is, it's easy to say you love God until things go wrong. Then you start to question God, which makes me question whether we actually were committed to him unless we were more committed to the blessing we thought was coming from him. You see what I'm saying? You know, there's this idea, and I could preach a whole message on this separately, but do you understand submission is never seen in agreement? You can claim you submit to God all you want. You can complain you submit to authority all you want. And that never actually is tested unless there's disagreement. Disagreement is what proves submission. When I can choose to disagree with the one that is over me, but still choose to submit under the authority. God, I disagree with what we're doing right now because I don't understand it, but I will still stay submitted unto you. Because if I don't have you, who do I have? God, I don't understand why my pastor did it this way, but I will stay submitted because I understand your authority. Submission is never tested in agreement, only disagreements. That's free. That's not in my notes. But when we talk about the stronger the problem gets, the more staying power we need. Think of all the things Job had to outlast. Disaster, bankruptcy, depression, death of his entire family, negative friends, physical sickness and disease. I mean, I think our picture looks a little easier. Someone's like, I can only think of two things I'm having to outlast. It's not about what Job had to outlast. It's the fact that he did do it. We can make the list afterwards and go, wow. Really what we're trying to focus on is the staying power so we can say, I'm still here. What do you need to outlast for the sake of success? That's something you should ponder. That's something you should think about. If you're taking notes today, my capacity to outlast my discomfort must grow. My capacity, we all have a certain capacity, but it doesn't mean that we can't enlarge that. You know, when you think of athletes, they could only lift so much until they kept lifting, and then all of a sudden they could lift more. You know, their 40-yard dash was only so good until they decided to focus on running, and then they could run faster. Your current capacity doesn't mean it's your only capacity. It means it's your only capacity as long as you're not trying to extend or stretch it. Yeah? Oftentimes, we don't realize what our capacity is for discomfort or pain until all of a sudden we have no choice but to go through discomfort and pain. We must have the proper staying power if we're going to survive. So how does that happen? I love what John 3:30 says. It says, he must increase, but I must decrease. God, if I'm going to have more staying power, it's going to be because of my spirit man enlarging to be able to see things that my physical eyes do not see. To be able to outlast my adversary, I've got to have my spirit man so convinced that you've already won the way you say you've won, everything you've done. I'm so convinced that actually this isn't a war, it's just the current battle. The war is already over. You've already done everything. And so I'm just outlasting my adversary because his days are numbered. Yes? Somebody said, man, I just, you know, I was talking with somebody in a counseling session, and they just said, I just can't get beyond my past. I feel like all the devil does is drag up my past to make me feel unworthy. All the devil does is do this and do that. And I say, look, that's all he has. Because you've been redeemed. All things have passed away, but he tries to remind you because he doesn't want you to think it's passed away. But the God of all things has already said you are forgiven. And then what I tell him is I said, every time he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Because his days are numbered and yours are eternal. Okay, I thought that was exciting. Okay, so, but when I think of this, I must decrease, God. There's only so much of me that I want in me. Because I remember there's much of me that you don't want in me because it was never designed to be. It has become. Because I've been a product of the wrong environment. I've become a product of the environment that I'm not supposed to stay in. Are you following me? So I can't rely on my own ability to stand. I must strengthen my spirit man to stand up on the inside when I cannot physically stand any longer. It is my spirit man that allows me to trust God and stay where every part of me and when every part of me wants to run. Someone says, I just can't stand anymore. Well, maybe it's time to take the posture of praying. So get on your knees, because that'll do. Come on. Number two, tough times, they call for tougher people. Tough times are going to come. We know that. But we've got to be a tougher people. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. We've heard these little sayings. Why? The only reason tough people will last eternally is because of the God who's with you. If it's not God, then it's not going to last. And I'm okay with that. There's a lot of things in me I don't want to last because it's not God. What I want to do is allow God to polish up the things that are him on my inside and let that be the thing that stands, because that's going to be the thing that stands for eternity. Sometimes it's tough, though, to trust God when you can't see the results. Isn't that right? Look what Deuteronomy 31:6 says. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. When it says because of them, because of whatever your problem is, because of whatever your issue is, because of whatever the struggle is, we don't have to be afraid because God doesn't leave us or forsake us. The thing that you feel like is going to take you out is the very thing God has given you the ability to overcome. Yeah. I say it all the time. You know, I was told Scott Thornton, one of my mentors, he's a pastor over in New Zealand now, but he always told me, Chad, whatever the devil is going to use to try and make you fail, that thing would, you know, if you woke up tomorrow and you failed, what would that thing on the front headline of the newspaper be? Because that's the thing you've got to guard yourself the most against. Because everyone has a vice. Everyone has a thing. And we've got to make sure that we guard against it. You don't want to leave that neglected, hello? And so sometimes it's tough to trust God when you don't see the results, but that's exactly what we have to do. If you're taking notes, the toughest people can stand in the storm smiling because they know the one who speaks to storms. They know the one who speaks to the storm. It's not that I'm not saying that I'm not in a storm, because I'm very well, you know, aware of my present situation. But I can smile because I know that the book has already been written. I know who wins. I know what side I'm on. And I know the very storm has to relent when one says silent. So I'll wait at his feet. I'll continue to focus on what he said. And although they do not know when the storm will cease, they know the one who keeps them from drowning in the moment too. See, when we're feel completely helpless, when we feel wrecked by the situation or circumstance, what we've also got to realize is in the midst of drowning that we feel is drowning, we're still breathing. So even though it looks hopeless, it's not, because the fact that we're still here proves he's still for us. Sometimes that's the only thing I can hold on to in the moment, but that's enough. If you're taking notes, there is an end in sight, even when it is only God who can see it. I got to remind myself that even I close my eyes, God, I can't see. I open my eyes, God, I can't see it. I don't understand it. But whether I can see it or not, I know you already see it. So sometimes when I don't even have the prayer for it, I say yes and amen to what you're already thinking for me. That might sound like a blank check because it might mean I've got to go through hell to get the very thing God wants me to go through. Not because he's called me there, but at the same time, we do know he calls us to wildernesses. We do know he calls us to the valley of dry bones. We do know that he calls us to places to strengthen us for our benefit. Not that he's tempting us, but that he's going to allow circumstances to strengthen us. So even if I don't understand and I can't see it, God, I know you see it. I'm going to say yes and amen, and I'm just going to continue to focus on where you're leading me. Number three, tough times call for tougher decisions. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Talk about tough decisions. You know how tough it can be to actually trust in the Lord? You know how tough it can be to actually submit all your ways? But when times get tough, you've got to make tougher decisions. You know what, God? I realize I'm in the middle of this thing and I need this outcome. And know what I realize in the midst of this? I clearly don't really trust you with everything because of the way I'm panicking. So let me make a tougher decision to find your peace. Let me make the tougher decision to not freak out by the feelings that are so easy to fuel and move me. Let me make the tougher decision to rest in your peace. Let me make the tougher decision to submit to your ways because I know you're going to make my path straight. It's tough to make tougher decisions. Does it make sense? Someone's like, yeah. We've got to make the tough decisions. And when times get tougher, the decisions get tougher. Even when you struggle to trust, choose to trust. Even when it's tough to submit, make the tough decision to stay under the authority of God in your life. Trust God even when you don't understand and especially when you can't see. For those that don't know, I had espresso today and I think that I'm going to finish this message early for you. I'm flying through this thing. I'm going to let you get on the war path sooner. Number four, tough times will not control my attitude. This is a big deal. And the reason it's a big deal is because your attitude is the thing that creates the way you think. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I get upset, so I start thinking in an upset manner, and everything looks in the manner in which I'm thinking. So here's the thing. When times get tough, I have to make sure that I don't allow the tough times to control my attitude, because my attitude will control the way I think, and the way I think controls the way I speak, and my words bring life or death. So I've got to stop it way back here and make sure that I control my attitude, because guess what? That tough time could be over tomorrow, but the decisions you make today may be a forever decision. Don't make decisions in valleys. Don't make permanent decisions in temporary problems. We've got to understand that God has given us the ability to take dominion of many things, including our attitude. I just wish in our world we saw a little bit more control. Not control by the government, control of our own tongues. I mean, sometimes I watch, I don't know why I do it, it's like a train wreck, but sometimes I watch a little bit of politics on all sides, and I just go, if they just controlled their tongue, if they just filtered their thoughts, if they just went back and said, my attitude's not going to control me, things could change. And listen, if the only thing good that came from your day was the way you chose to look at it, that in and of itself saved you from worse. You have the choice to curse the rest of your day or to speak blessing over the rest of your day. God, it has been a horrible day. X, Y, and Z happened. This happened. That happened. I missed my clock. I'm late for work. The boss is mad at me. I'm behind you. You know what? God, I don't know why it started this way, but I'm going to go find a corner and I'm going to submit, and I'm going to give you the rest of this day, and you're going to turn things around, and I'm going to work hard, and I'm not going to allow my attitude to control me. Sometimes we just need a little reset, don't we? You ever have one of those conversations with your child? You can tell your child needs a reset. Both of them definitely need it, but one of my children needs it a little bit more than the other. And so the one that tends to be more like me. Hello. I'm getting what I deserve. I'm reaping what I sowed. And so I'll pull this one aside and I'll say, look, all right, take a breath. You're getting out of control. And I know your feelings are like a firecracker right now. I understand, but we have to understand that we have the ability to control ourselves. And those eyes look up at me like, I don't think that's true. Like, one day you will understand this, but until then, no soup for you. No, just playing. No, sorry, Seinfeld stuck in me. All right, so check this out. But we have to control our attitude. 2 Corinthians says this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know what? I don't have to allow my attitude to control me. I can fix my attitude. It's just depending on what I look at. My attitude is based on whether I'm staring at what's seen or what's unseen. If I stare at the seen problem, the seen issue, the seen struggle, then my attitude can go south. But if I stare at what is unseen, the fact that God is in control when I don't feel it, the fact that God is for me, not against me, the fact that he's already written me into the Lamb's Book of Life, the fact that the devil doesn't win, if I continue to look at what's unseen, all of a sudden my attitude will change. The Holy Spirit can also help with this. Look what it says in John 14. But the advocate, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. How many people wish they had a better memory? Holy Spirit can help with that. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, which, what is that? They give and take away so often. Jesus, he gives it to us freely. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You know what? When I start to struggle with my attitude, I remember the peace that Jesus left to me, the peace he gave me. I can choose to take it or I can choose to leave it. We live in a world that leaves it more often than takes it. God, I want to be the one that chooses to take your peace when I don't understand. I want to have your peace that surpasses understanding. I want people to not understand why I'm smiling in a storm, but it's because I know the one who speaks to the storm. God, I want to be the one who chooses the peace that you gave me. I will choose peace in the storm. The peace Jesus gave to me, I will embrace through my tough times. I will choose to stay calm on the surface when storms are raging inside of me and around me, because I know God's got me. Not because I'm just telling myself everything will be all right, because I know that it will be all right. This isn't like, I think I can. This is I know he did, so I'll just believe it. That's how it is. 1 Peter says this, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Don't be surprised. God, I just feel like today's a fiery furnace. You weren't the first. Don't be surprised. In fact, if the world embraces everything you do, then whose are you? The Bible says that Jesus told his believers, if they hated the master, how much more will they hate you? What does that mean? If they hated me, the miracle worker, the one that that healed the blind son, the one that did this, the one that made the lame walk, if they hate me and you are mine and you claim me, what do you expect? Sometimes we got to remind ourselves, they don't hate me. They hate the Jesus that's in me, and that proves that I'm for him. Okay, we'll move on. I just don't like being hated. Do you realize Jesus shows us time and time again how he had to control his attitude and his feelings? I'm pretty convinced Jesus never loved the fact that many hated him. I think he embraced his cause. He learned to deal with the things that didn't feel comfortable. In the same way he said, not my will, but your will, it proved that his will wasn't what God's will in the minute and in the moment. He didn't want to have to do it, but he chose to conquer that feeling rather than letting the feeling control him. We come to that same intersection all the time. Am I going to conquer this feeling or is it going to control me? Am I going to be slave to it or am I going to master it? Are you getting this? 2 Corinthians says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, although we probably don't go looking to be persecuted, we don't go looking for insults, we don't go looking for hardships, we don't do all these things. When they come on us, we also can't let them control us. We have to rejoice in the fact that it's when we're weak, he's strong. Because you know what? Everyone wants to be strong, but the problem with being strong on your own is that you think you can do it on your own, and then you fail on your own, and you question why God didn't help you, but you didn't exalt him in your weakness. So what he's saying here, I understand that when I'm weak, I don't even try and be strong. I just allow God to be my strong. My staying power isn't in my willpower. It is in my God. I hope you're getting this, church. Look, if you're married, you're going to have tough times. Doesn't mean you shouldn't show your spouse respect because you don't feel like it. Look, if I could go down the list of if you are, then you would, right? There could be a long list of that. But how about this? If you're breathing, you will have tough times in trying times. We'll just leave it at that. That covers everything. If you're like, well, I'm not married. Well, you're breathing, so you're going to have tough times. It's going to be trying. We'll leave it at that. But Jesus already warned us this life would be difficult. But he also mentioned that he's already won for us. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 16:33. Jesus tells us, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart because I've overcome the world. Not don't worry, everything will be fine because I'm going to handle it all. No, you're going to have struggles. Jesus was real. Jesus was just saying, look, let me be honest with you. There are going to be a lot of trials that come. What did he mean? Some of you are going to be beheaded. That's what he was saying to his disciples. Some of you are going to be, you know, you're going to go through X, Y, and Z. He wasn't listing it for him. He was just calling it trials and struggles. How many think, you know, I appreciate that God doesn't literally spill everything out for me because that could really mess with my attitude. Sometimes I just like that he calls them trials and sorrows. Okay? But what I know is he says, but don't worry. Take heart. I've already overcome the world. So whatever your end is, it's not the end. Wherever the end of your rope is, I've got you. That is a good thing. That helps me control my attitude. Lastly, number 5. Tough times can make me better. You can either become bitter or better. That is up to you. I love this quote from Pastor Joel Osteen. You're going to go through tough times. That's life. But I say nothing happens to you. It happens for you. See the positive in negative events. Pastor Joel he and Victoria just celebrated their 20th anniversary as senior pastors, and I was very upset to have to decline their invitation to be with them. But this is one voice that you need in your world. Talk about lifting you up when you feel. I mean, he is the man. When it comes to hope, he's got it. He is a hope dealer. But it's not because of him. It's because of the God in him and the gifting God has given him. But I say that because how often do we not look at the positive and the negative? We look at the negative so much we can't find positive. But it's all in how we see things. We've got to get in the Word so that it can shift our perception. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Come on. Tough times produce. Tough times produce if we react the right way. The tough season can create something within me that would never have been formed without it. Without the pressure, without the heat, there wouldn't have been that stealing effect within me. And so, simply put, tough seasons can produce good things. As the band comes back on up here, Isaiah 41:10 says this, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Would you bow your heads with me? Regardless of what the devil is throwing at you today, choose to stand your ground. Have spirit-sustained staying power. Let the devil know you're not going anywhere because you're still here. We have the ability to build up our faith. We have the ability to change the way we look at things. We have the ability to not allow tough times to control our attitude, to control our tongue. All of that ability comes through the Son. When we say yes to Jesus, he comes in and he brings a whole bunch of things and adds them to the arsenal of our daily living. Peace I give to you, he says. I believe there are people in here that there hasn't been peace for quite a while. There's been brokenheartedness. There's been need for restoration. There's been a tearing at the fabric of the family. There's been all sorts of issues that are going on within you. But none of that is resolved without Christ. Jesus is the answer to the world's problems, and that means your problems. And so whatever you're going through today, don't take another day trying to go through it alone. That's not going to get us where God's called us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What does that mean? It means that God has an eternity for each and every one of us. A heaven is waiting for us, but the only way we access it is through Jesus. Because of our sin, we don't deserve the eternal life God has for us. But because of Jesus' sacrifice, he's paid for our sin. Our debt is paid if we accept Christ and what he did for us. So if you're at home streaming today or if you're in this room, I want to give you an opportunity to get right with God. To say, you know what? I need you, God. I ask Jesus to come into my heart. It's that simple. If you believe, you don't have to understand everything, but if you choose to believe, Jesus did exactly what he said for you. If you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your lips, the Bible says everything changes.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.